course, the Vedic culture is very beautiful. It teaches us how to deal properly with each other, with the ultimate aim of pleasing God and serving God. So when a guest arrives, there's nice reception. Recently one devotee was mentioning how one of Prabhupada's disciples, Padumya Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, had a lot of association with Srila Prabhupada. He was saying that Srila Prabhupada didn't really like telephones. He considered them to be a botheration. And he never had one in his room. And once Srila Prabhupada remarked that in your country, if you want to visit someone, you have to phone them first. But in India, we don't phone them, we just go. And they say, oh, welcome, welcome, please come, please come. So this type of reception is a nice way to welcome a guest, or welcome someone back home. There's another dimension to the ceremony. The reception of Guru. The song was about Guru. And this is a part of Krishna consciousness, important part of Krishna consciousness, that we don't try to approach Krishna directly, but we approach him through his servants. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who actually was Krishna, but in the mood of a devotee, he presented himself as Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa 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 Nidasa, the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis of Vrindavan. So for us, that principle of being the servant of the servant of the servant is fulfilled through the spiritual master, who is the servant of his spiritual master, who is the servant of his spiritual master, all the way back to Krishna. That is the principle of parampara. Parampara literally means one after the other. So one, Krishna is the original spiritual master, and he gives knowledge to his immediate disciples, such as Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma will give the knowledge to his disciple Narada. Narada will give to his disciple Vyasa. And in this way, the knowledge comes down to us through the cyclic succession. And we also offer service to Krishna up through the cyclic succession. So it's a chain of the cyclic succession. Um, in the temple room we have a deity of Srila Prabhupada. In other temples outside ISKCON, it's not so common to see have the deity of the spiritual master. But of course, Srila Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya, so that is a special position. But when I was in Jagannath Puri in December, I saw a deity of a spiritual master there. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spent the last, he appeared on earth for 48 years, and he spent the last 24 years based in Puri. 6 years he was based in Puri, but he traveled, and then the last 18 years he just stayed in Puri. And he was given a room by Kashi Mishra where he stayed and chanted. And, that room is called the Gambira. And Kashi Mishra was part of the court, or his ancestors were part of the court of the king of Puri. And of course the king during the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Maharaja Pratap Rudra. And maybe his grandfather maybe two or three generations before him in the line, he had conquered some kingdom, and in the course of his victory he had brought back deity of Radha and Krishna called Radha Kanta. And through the generations, so those deities were given by, say, King Pratapurudra's grandfather to Kashi Mishra's grandfather. And those came down to Kashi Mishra. So, time passed, and this principle of Parag continued after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there were different lines. In Vrindavan, the lines went through the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami. And in Puri, one of the lines went through Rukreshwar Pandit. So he had a disciple named Gopal Guru. Now this Gopal Guru was a very advanced devotee at a very young age. In fact, once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to heed the call of nature, and he was like holding his mouth like this. So this boy was about 8 years old. This boy asked him, why are you holding your jaw? And he said, I'm trying to stop myself from chanting Hare Krishna, but it's very difficult because I automatically chant. I'm going to evacuate now, and how can I bring the holy name into such a place, into such an activity? Then the boy, whose name was Gopal, the boy said that you know, we have to chant the holy name at the time of death, and death can come at any moment, even when you're heeding the call of nature. So you have to chant at every moment, even when you're evacuating. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, you are right. You are my guru." And from then on, that boy, young boy, got the name Gopal Guru. And in time, he became a prominent acharya after Rukreshwar Pandit in Puri. Then his main disciple was Dhyan Chandra Goswami. He was also very special devotee. He wrote many prayers and like meditations on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Astakalya Lila. He developed that whole system of Astakalya Lila Smarana for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well as Radha and Krishna. And so the deities of Radhakanta, they were going through this line. They came to Dhyan Chand Goswami. And, you know, before Gopal Guru Goswami left the world, he said, you take care of these deities. This is your service to take care of these deities. And then, you know, Gopal Guru Goswami left. Now that, of course, was a devastating experience for his disciples, and probably for others as well, but in particular for his disciples. And, you know, they were heartbroken. And to make matters worse, the new king, he thought, well, you know, these deities were won in battle by the royal family. You know, they were given to Kashi Mishra's family, but now somehow they've gone to these other people, so they should come back. So the king came with his constables and like forcibly took possession of the deities. And that was, you know, a terrible blow, because Dhyan Chand Goswami was already suffering because of the disappearance of a spiritual master, but the one thing he had left was his service to his spiritual master, which was to take care of the deities. And the king took away the deities, so he had nothing left. He lost his spiritual master, but his connection with his spiritual master was his service, and he lost his service. So he was completely devastated. But then he heard a rumor that Gopal Guru Goswami was in Vrindavan. Now that was hard to believe, because all the disciples had seen him, you know, leave his body, enter samadhi. They'd done the funeral ceremony. They did everything. And they heard he's in Vrindavan. But this person said, no, he's there. I saw him. So Dhyan Chand Goswami went to see. And there he found Gopal Guru Goswami. And he said, Guru Maharaj, what happened? We all saw that you left. We did the funeral ceremony and everything. And Gopal Guru Goswami said, well, Vrindavan is Chintamani Dham, it's the spiritual world. So anyway, he said, Guru Maharaj, now this is the situation. You know, you told me to look after the deities of Radhakanta, and the king has come and taken them away. This is the worst calamity, you know, in your physical absence. This is my life and soul, your service, and service has been taken away, deity's been taken away. And it's the king, you know, nobody can say or do anything. So Gopal Guru Goswami said, no problem, I will take care of everything. You just go back, and he mentioned a particular tree. And he said, you go to this tree and get wood from this tree, and you make a deity of me. And you worship this deity of me every day, and I will take care of everything. So he went back to Puri, and he found the tree exactly like his spiritual master said, and he made the deity exactly as the spiritual master said, and he began to worship the deity. Then, within maybe 3 days, Gopal Guru Goswami appeared in the dream of the king. And he said, you rascal, what are you doing? These deities are coming in our line, and we've given these deities to Dhyan Chand Goswami. How could you take them away? You know, you better return them, otherwise there will be consequences. So the king woke up and realized he made an offense, he returned the deity. So Dhyan Chand Goswami got the deities, got his service to his spiritual master, and he also had the deity of his spiritual master now. So he had the two. And so in that temple, Radhakanta temple, which is part of Kashi Mishra's compound, which is where the Gambira is, just in front of the door to the deity room where Radhakanta is, the deity of Gopal Guru Goswami. So there are many lessons to be learned from this story. One is that the spiritual master is always alive, even if we can't see him, that he's in Vrindavan. And the other is that if we worship him and serve him, he will take care of everything. The most impossible problem to solve, he will solve very easily. He can. Then the third element of this little ceremony was the chanting of the holy name after the singing the Guru Vandana prayers. We chanted the holy names, and that is our main process. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says of all the, well, he was describing bhakti to Sanatana Goswami in Jagannath Puri. Oh no, that was earlier. That was in Benares. But then he said, of all these processes, the most important is to chant the holy name. And if one chants the holy name without offense, one will achieve the goal of love of God. So that is our main process. Earlier we sang Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chichete Korya Aikyo, that one should make the instructions of the spiritual master one with one's heart, or with one's consciousness. And the main instruction is to chant. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada says that of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's instruction to chant to prescribe, no, 16, chant 16 rounds daily is most essential. So that is also our service, and it's the basis of our other service. Once one of our god sisters, whom Goswami Maharaj very much appreciated, her name is Kaushalya Dasi. So she was preaching in Jaipur, and that was the time when Sri Gurudev took sannyas. Anyway, she was preaching in Jaipur, and she got sick, and after Jaipur, all the devotees came to Mayapur, but she was like too sick to do her regular service. So she asked Prabhupada what she should do, and Prabhupada said, you should chant. She said, no, I need some service, I have to do some service. I said, no, chanting is the best service. You should chant. So that's our service. It's also a prayer for service. Srila Prabhupada explains when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare is a way of addressing Hara or Radha. Of course, Krishna is also the way we address Krishna. So we're actually praying, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. So a careful, attentive chanting, offenseless chanting, is, like Prabhupada said, it's like a sincere cry of a child for his mother. Mother Hara, please engage me in your service, please. Take me to the Supreme Father, Hari. And of course the chanting can be done japa every day, and kirtan. Kirtan has a special potency to evoke spiritual sentiments. Kirtan and japa, those are important processes. And of course, Srila Gurudev, at the end in Mayapur, he organized kirtans in his room every night for 3 hours. It was like the highlight of the festival. It was the main event of the whole festival. People would come. They couldn't fit in the room. It was a big area. Eventually they had to move it into the temple room. And people just like look forward to that event. So kirtan and japa, chanting the holy name. And on 3 occasions, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by some devotees from Kulinagram who came to meet him in Puri, what is their duty? They were householders, And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, your duty is to always chant the holy name of Krishna and to serve the devotees of Krishna. And that's parampara, serving the devotees through the cyclic succession and also serving all the other devotees and chanting the holy name. And just by those two activities, one can achieve all success in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? All right, well, we can end. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow. And the Prabhupada key. And the Gurudev key. For Bhaktavinda key. For Premananda key.